You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday. We're back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we have a big episode here. We're bringing on a first-time guest. You certainly know his name. I've yet to talk to him at this point, but Mike Golic Jr., the son of Mike Golic. Both Golics are very famous Notre Dame people. And also, he obviously does a whole bunch of stuff. So, super excited to bring him on. He is certainly making the rounds, because I was listening to SiriusXM yesterday when my power was out. I was sitting in the car charging my phone up for a while, and I heard him there. And I go and see that he's on X's and Bros with Anthony Bellino this morning. So, he is making the rounds. So, I'm very excited to bring him on. But we will get to him in the middle. But here at the outset, we spoke to Jay Harbaugh and George Hilo today, and they discussed safeties, special teams, and linebackers. So these are position groups that we don't know a heck of a lot about necessarily, as far as from the coaching perspective. But I mean, these are position groups that I'm relatively excited about, because I think that they're going to go a lot better than what a lot of people might think. I think they'll be... Linebacker in particular is crucial to this team's success. I mean, people talk about and this has been the thing in Ann Arbor for a long time, you know, the pass rush in the corners. But to me, that middle of the field is really important. That said, I don't feel like they said that much when it came to those position groups. Jay probably said a bit more about special teams, which makes sense. I mean, they had the number one special teams in the country last year. And it's a position group that it really could help change games, right? And that goes for, you know, difference between punting, kicking field goals, returning. To refresh your memory, AJ Henning is staying on punt, but Roman Wilson is going to get his start doing kicks. So I'm excited to see what that looks like, right? Because he very well might be the fastest player on the team, and he earned that position. But I don't feel like there was anything like groundbreaking, and maybe part of it is, hey, it's the start of the season. Jim Harbaugh said kind of all there is to say. It's just kind of feels like we're ready to see it at this point. We are ready to see it. The there were two players that I want to know more about that I haven't heard much about, and I asked them both, and they both kind of didn't have a lot to say about either of them, except for one of them seems like he's in the mix at safety. And is a stalwart special teams player like he was last year. That's Quentin Johnson. We heard a lot about him in the spring. He was mentioned, especially when we'd ask players, like, who's really standing out at safety. Quentin Johnson's name came up pretty much every time, but he was not mentioned by Jim Harbaugh. Jay Harbaugh says, hey, he's probably like fourth or fifth, so right there with Caden Kolasar, but for an All-American high school player who made his commitment at the All-American Bowl, four-star guy from the DMV, you kind of would hope that he'd be a little bit further along. Plus, he looks like my old bassist, so I have an affinity for him. He does the Ambry Thomas look at the camera. It's not like he always poses, right? He always is doing something like this for those who can watch on video. But it's whereas Ambry would just kind of make eye contact, and sometimes he'd point at me or whatever. But my favorite was still when in Michigan State game in 2017, he lined up for a point after field goal and did the hit squad from Martin Luther King High School. Did that symbol, and I'm like, you are going to get in so much trouble, Ambry, if Jim Harbaugh looks back and sees that on film. But anyway, Quentin Johnson is in the mix, but the other one is Jaden Hood, and it doesn't sound like he's necessarily in the mix. Not as much as, like, we've heard some things about these freshmen. Jimmy Rolder, Deuce Spurlock, Micah Pollard. Micah Pollard got, like, a little bit of extended time when Jim Harbaugh was talking about him on Saturday. Maybe that's just the excitement factor of being a freshman, but, like, year two, four-star from Florida, you would hope that Jaden Hood is a little bit further along than he is. So you hope that he can figure some things out, but Joe Urchilla says, hey, he needs to figure some things out on special teams. So that might be the inroads, and you never know what's going to happen in the midst of a season, right? Because we knew that David Ojabo was going to play last year. No one knew that he was going to start and would get 11 sacks, you know? So you hope that maybe one of those guys, like it's like Jaden Hood, gets a couple special team snaps in the first couple weeks, starts to feel comfortable out there, maybe gets into some garbage time, starts to figure things out, maybe gets a little bit more regular playing time. You never know what's going to happen. That said, it does seem like he's a little bit further out than Quentin Johnson. But otherwise, I don't think there was anything particularly groundbreaking. I just feel like we are all in this position. Even though it still seems surreal that the season starts in a couple days, it's surreal to sit here and think, like, I'm going to be watching Penn State Purdue in just over a day's time here, that we are this close, that football is about to happen. We've talked about it for months on end. Now it's just time to see it. So I'm excited to see what that looks like, because honestly, to some degree, I have some confidence. I have some things that I feel like I know. But at the same time, I feel like we don't know anything until we see it. So excited for that to get here. All right, up next, we're going to have Mike Golic Jr. He's going to come on, and he is going to discuss everything that we need to know not necessarily everything you need to know. We're going to talk to him about Michigan, his perception. I obviously want to hit on Notre Dame, Ohio State, his expectations there as well, college football at large. So we will get to that here in just a moment. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. Different perspective camera-wise, thanks to some technical difficulties. Speaking of technical difficulties, we were supposed to have him on yesterday, Tuesday, but because of DTE Energy's inability to have power and much of Michigan, Mike Golic Jr. joins us today. Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me, and just in general, glad to hear that you've got power back. Always a good thing.
And you probably wouldn't know, because I was keeping in touch with Sammy. It was just yesterday. I was like, oh, it's gonna be back. They're saying, oh, you're gonna have it back. You're gonna have it back. And waiting, and eventually it was like, oh, I gotta pull the plug. There's no way.
Someone quite literally pulled the plug on you. So that's really out of your hands on that. Ironically, the same thing happened to me. I was supposed to record with ESPN's Jason Fitz on Sunday, and someone pulled the plug on power in Central Connecticut. So something weird's going around. It's too damn hot for everybody right now.
That it is. So obviously I want to get your perspective on Ohio State, Notre Dame, you being a Notre Dame guy, legacy, all of that, that's, you're going to have way better insight into that than I ever could. But being a national guy, you obviously have whatever your thoughts are on Michigan. And I'm curious as to what you think this Michigan team will be, because we that cover the team locally, that see them every day, all seem to think of this team as really highly thought of, right? And we think that this is going to be a really good team. Nationally, it's kind of up and down as far as the way people are looking at this Wolverines team. So what is your perspective of Michigan?
My perspective of Michigan is they're going to be a really good football team. I don't think they're going to be as good as last year's team. And I think the Ohio State they're going to face is better. So it's weird that you could have a team that's not as good as last year, but could have a similar record, because the rest of the schedule is, I think, pretty light, especially in the beginning, so much so that Jim Harbaugh can use the first really three games as a scrimmage to figure out which quarterback he wants to pull out of the Bible. And I just think that overall, it's always been for me with Michigan, because I was one of the ones in a, you know, a couple of years ago when we were talking about the Jim Harbaugh that had to take a reduction in pay to come back and be the coach for Michigan to have the type of season we had in 2021. And the Jim Harbaugh that a lot of people wanted to run out of town after 2020, then I looked and said, well, what about all these double digit win seasons that you've had for the first 4 years of the tenure or so? That's really hard to do in college football. But the measuring stick seems to always be for programs that have a chief rival inside their conference is, what are you relative to blank? And for Michigan, that answer is Ohio State. And for Michigan last year, it was a great time because they were able to finally slay that dragon. They're not slaying that dragon this year. Michigan could rebound and be as good as we, you know, possibly want to believe they can be. And Cade McNamara or J.J. McCarthy could both be the Lord and Savior. Your defense is going to take a step back, losing Dax Hill and then both edge pieces that you had last year, and Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo. Like, they're just not going to reload those quality of guys that easily on that side of the ball. And then you're facing an Ohio State team that's eye to eye with Alabama as the two best teams in college football this year. So I'm pretty comfortable penciling that in as a loss for Michigan this year. And so then it's just a matter of, all right, now that that happened last year, if you lose to just an Ohio State team that's probably going to spend its season making everybody look silly, is this still something that you can be happy with results wise if the rest of it looks the way that we believe it can with this Michigan schedule?
See, I am one of two, I believe two, maybe three media members in this market, local media guys, who actually has picked Michigan to beat Ohio State again this year. And I'll tell you why. And it's, I think, because as a lot of unproven, like extremely great talent, but of a lot of unproven pieces on their end, both sides of the ball, new defense, I just think Michigan's lines are going to be superior. But obviously they play games for a reason, right? Like I say that all the time. Just because I say it now doesn't mean that, like, the week of the game, I'm not going to pencil that in as like an obvious loss. You know, we could be talking about that as an obvious win come November, because we never know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it is interesting, too, to consider when this game is played also, because you talked about the unproven commodity, and the fact that we get this game at the end of the season means for Ohio State, you've brought in two coaches that I think the most crucial areas for that team based on what we saw last year, offensive line and defensive coordinator. So Jim Knowles brings over a defense that I think stylistically is going to be a lot more of what we saw when Jeff Hafley was at the helm for Ohio State as D coordinator now at Boston College, up around the line of scrimmage, going to certainly challenge you at and behind the line of scrimmage. I think Oklahoma State led in tackles for loss and stuff Rater was very highly ranked in college football last year with him at the helm. They're going to maybe mix up coverage even more. I heard someone the other day say they put two safeties back there on a couple of occasions during training camp, which is wild, as you know, for anyone who's ever faced Ohio State defensively. And then on the other side, Justin Fry comes over from UCLA. And if you remember early in last season, UCLA's O-line absolutely going murder ball on LSU in a matchup that stunned all of us nationally a little bit for Chip Kelly and those guys. And the one common denominator with both of those kinds of hires is those are units that take a little bit of time to gel, even when you've got talent like it's going out of style in Ohio State. So I will be fascinated to see, like, Notre Dame facing them week one, to me, is a mightily different task than Ohio State and Michigan squaring off at the end of the year, where if your lines stay healthy, if you've got continuity on those units, the chain of command and the communication that you need to be successful in both those spots could take hold by then. And this Ohio State thing could look even scarier by then, or it could be one of those scenarios where maybe it's going to be a multi-year thing before those techniques and teaching points really start to set in, because especially defensively, it's a very different thing having a voice at the top of that defense that's different from what you've had the last few years.
And speaking of, because I would imagine as a Notre Dame guy, you're looking at this game and you're like, please, Marcus Freeman, find a way. And I think probably most Michigan people would agree with you on side with Notre Dame and kind of one of those rare rivalry, you know, we're going to take that and run with it. Although recruiting wise, maybe not, because Marcus Freeman certainly getting a lot of guys at Michigan, but Notre Dame is not getting a lot of respect when it comes to this game. You know, every national prediction I've seen has had Ohio State double digit favorite in this one. What is your view of this game, and how can Notre Dame potentially take down the Buckeyes on Saturday night?
Yeah, I want to be clear at this point. Like, if you ask me as an unbiased analyst, I'm picking Ohio State to win that game. Like, they should win that game. And I say that, like, Notre Dame, it won't be because they've lost the game. I think Marcus Freeman, what we saw, and this was the Fiesta Bowl, what we saw this take place in, Marcus Freeman's actual first shot as a head coach, where came out extremely prepared, came out and got off to an incredible start. You can say, well, it was with a veteran outfit that had already played a full season's worth of football, a little bit of a different prospect than having to form the team in your identity over the course of an offseason. But it wasn't a lack of preparation, and there certainly won't be a lack of similar talent, especially along the lines of scrimmage. Notre Dame has proven their ability to do that. They went out and rehired Harry Hiestand, who was the offensive line coach when I was there, who's got a group now that benefits all the injury Notre Dame's offensive line went through last year. All the young guys that got on the field early and got that time now becomes a strength for a unit that, if they can keep that top five healthy, I think can be a really strong group. You've got an All-American tight end. And so all of that formula-wise, if you are going to be Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman and pull off the upset in this scenario, because again, Ohio State is talent-wise, them, Georgia, you know, Alabama, and maybe like one other school on a given year, recruit at a level that is capable of winning a national championship and winning it consistently. There's not that many in college football right now. And so if you're Notre Dame, as you're trying to bridge that gap with the recruiting that Marcus Freeman has started to demonstrate, hey, I can break through that ceiling that Brian Kelly felt was there and thus left for LSU to go try and coach there. While he's busy breaking through that, how you're going to have to get through this game is, I think, a lot how Notre Dame approached playing Alabama in the CFP 2 years ago, meaning you got to lean on your strength up front while Ohio State is getting their stuff figured out on defense, getting their stuff figured out on the offensive line, cause chaos there, go ball control and try and take the air out of this game, be insanely efficient inside the red zone, touchdowns on every trip, and then you're going to have defense steal a possession, because I think that Ohio State buzzsaw of a wide receiver group and quarterback room, those are NFL players like Marvin Harrison, Jackson Smith and Jigba, CJ Stroud. They're on loan from the NFL to this Ohio State college football team. And so while Notre Dame secondary gets built to the place where Marcus Freeman wants to see it get, you're going to have to rely on an Isaiah Foskey led pass rush up front to go and try and take advantage of some good matchups they could have early in the year, harass the quarterback in that way. And then when the field shrinks in the red zone, got to take the ball away once. You got to try and give your offense an extra possession and just get them sit. We need, if you're Notre Dame and you're going to win this, you need long extended TV shots of CJ Stroud and that offense sitting on the sideline, hands inside their jerseys, waiting for their turn, chomping at the bit, getting cold. Because right now with Tyler Buchner, unless he comes out and is the second coming of Brady Quinn, and is lighting it up in a way that we didn't really see as a limited part of his game last year in the packages he was used, you're going to have to lean on your strengths early. And those are decidedly running back, a quarterback with running ability, and an offensive line and tight end room that has long been the identity for Notre Dame football in the last decade and change.
Well, that's how Michigan managed to beat Ohio State in large part last year. So we'll see if that formula can work again in hostile territory. I cannot wait to watch that game. I got to ask, how much fun was it? And I was a late adopter to actually going and watching the uniform reveal video in Las Vegas. But to reenact one of my favorite movies, The Hangover, to go and do that, how much fun was that for you?
It was a blast. And I am really thankful to Coach Freeman, the staff there, everyone behind the scenes at Fighting Irish Digital Media, and Katie Lonergan, their sports information director, for, you know, letting us come be a part of it. It was an idea they pitched to us. They asked if we would be interested in coming and being a small part of it. And the execution from there on out, like, as someone who, when I was in school there, 2008 to 2012, Fighting Irish Media was in its infancy. We were doing behind the scenes content on flip cameras in 2010. And now to walk into basically a feature film setup that they had out there with the entire crew in the desert helping us shoot that was really cool to see. It was fun seeing the school embrace a different way to get this product out to people, to show in recruiting, hey, look at how creative we're willing to be with this stuff. and quite frankly, for Michael Mayer, for Isaiah Foskey, and for Coach Freeman to show off the acting chops. There's a future outside of sports if they ever want it there for a lot of those guys, and I think they got to put some good stuff on tape.
Well, as a someone who has a film degree from the University of Michigan, I'm envious that that is a thing that happened at Notre Dame. Perhaps I should have stayed with film and then I could have pitched that to Michigan, that type of thing. And I'll tell you what, I love seeing Isaiah Foskey in anything. I interviewed him back in 2016 when Michigan did its satellite camps. He was at the Sacramento camp and he was a tight end at that time. And he was still, I think he was going into his sophomore year of high school or something like that. It was crazy. So it's awesome to seeing him have that success. Mike, where can people catch you this weekend? I know you're kind of all over the place.
Yeah, got an exciting weekend. So I'm doing college football radio for Learfield. Going to be a part of that crew with Sloan Martin. And we are heading to Gainesville. We're going down there, Utah, on the road at Florida to start the Billy Napier era. You got Utah and Kyle Whittingham's crew coming in. Their highest preseason AP poll ranking ever. They're seventh in the country. They're a legitimate playoff contender. And we all watch what they did against Oregon at the end of last season. When Cam Rising and that offense are in full meat grinder mode, they can make life miserable for pretty much anyone. So it's a tall task for Billy Napier in Florida trying to start off this new regime. But it's a game that promises to be physical and feature a lot of rushing attempts. So get ready.
Well, awesome. Definitely, I'll obviously be trying to catch as much of that game as I possibly can. After Michigan's game and everything. So excited that you are going to be down there. Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we'll be able to have you back sometime midseason. We'll get to kind of figure out what Michigan is a little bit more, figure out what Notre Dame, Ohio State, all of it, and try to see kind of a progress report of everything we talked about today.
It's a beautiful thing, man. We get to finally do it for real. No more talking, no more silly season. It's time to kick the damn ball off and do this.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
All right, again, big thanks to Mike Golic Jr. Super excited to have him on. Very cool. It'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend in particular with Ohio State and Notre Dame. Listen, there's going to be optimism for every team heading into the season. I think there should be more Ohio State pessimism, to be honest. I really do. Because I know they just reload all the time, but that happens for every team until it doesn't. And with what Jim Harbaugh said after the Ohio State game this last year, some guys are born on third and think they hit a triple. I know it draws the ire of Ohio State fans, but he's not wrong. That isn't to say that Ryan Day can't come out, start hitting home runs over and over and over again, but he didn't build that program. He was a steward of that program. And there's always a chance for a step back. We just aren't used to seeing Ohio State do that, right? We're used to seeing Ohio State just, okay, they're really good. Well, the next year they're going to be better. The expectations are higher. All of that. That's what we are accustomed to when it comes to Ohio State. But at some point, it might not be this year, might not be next year, might not be for 10 years, might be not be for 15, 20 years. But at some point in their future, It could be this year, could be next year, could be at any point. At some point, they're going to come out and they're going to have super high expectations and they're going to fall completely flat. Last year was kind of close to that, right? But, I mean, 10-2 isn't really completely flat. That's just like a Michigan-esque year. You know what I mean? So, this year when I look at Ohio State, as confident as I am that they will probably have a really good offense and the defense will improve. All it takes, and we've seen this with Michigan time and time again, and I'm not wishing this upon them, but I'm just saying it. This is the game of football. It's a key injury here or there, everything changes. Now, Ohio State has always tended to fall upwards, right? They have a key injury. They have Braxton Miller gets injured in the preseason. They bring in JT Barrett, who ends up being incredible. Then he gets injured in the Michigan game, and Cardale Jones comes in and helps win that game and then a national championship. Jim Tressel's forced out. it's like, oh man, where are they going to go from here? And then they get Urban Meyer. They fall upwards. That's just what this program has tended to do. Now, I don't think they'll fall upwards if Michigan goes and beats them again, because I can't imagine that Ryan Day would survive that, even if they're 11-0 going into that game. Barring them being 11-1, non-Big Ten champion, going to the playoff regardless. Correct. Maybe it's 11-1 and they are a Big Ten champion still, and go and win the whole thing, but you lose to Michigan, then that might be the only way he would save his job in that case. But I'm curious as to what point, because I don't really like their defensive talent. They do have a lot of defensive talent. They do. But I just don't think it necessarily matches what they're trying to do. Now, that said, they could surprise people just like Michigan surprised people last year. But when I say surprise people, surprise me, right? Because most people think, oh, it's going to be great. Like I said before, it's like Ohio State gets a new defensive coordinator. I was like, oh, it's going to be so good. Michigan gets a new defensive coordinator. It's like, oh, it's not going to be very good. It's just funny how that works. But I just think that if there was going to be a year where they could take a step back, it's this one. And it's partially because they do have a new defensive coordinator trying to figure things out. He historically has not been great in year one. He hasn't historically come in and just suddenly like changed everything. It takes him a couple years. I'm not loving their defensive talent compared to some previous years. I think their offensive line will be good, but I think people are overrating it a little bit. It will still be like a top 10 offensive line in the country, but I don't like everyone seems to have them as a clear cut number one. I'm not seeing that. I think Travion Henderson will be very good. I think CJ Stroud will be very good. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba will be very good, but what happens if it just doesn't coalesce? What happens if Ryan Day is playing tight, especially because they've got a really tough schedule this year? Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Iowa, still the usual suspects, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State. It would not surprise me in the least if Ohio State took a step back. Now, step back is probably still 10-2 for them. I don't think they'll be Clemson of this last year, right? But if they were, it wouldn't surprise me. CJ Stroud thought he played really good. I think that their receiving core looks probably really good. But Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, those were first-round draft picks. What happens if Marvin Harrison Jr. had a great game against Utah? Ends up being above average, but that's about it. What if it's just Jackson Smith and Jigba? What if Jackson Smith and Jigba doesn't benefit from having Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave out there with him a lot of the time? There are a lot of questions. And that's the beauty of college football, right? Again, I'm not predicting that they will take a step back. I am not. I fully expect them to roll through their schedule, unfortunately. But that's the beauty of college football. You never know. It's always this, the teams that are good are always going to be good, except unless it's Michigan. And the teams that are bad are always going to be bad, especially if it's Michigan. That's just where we're at this point in the season. But we already saw in week zero how quickly things can change, because Northwestern, a team that I had, I think, 13th in my power rankings, Nebraska, who I had 8th, it goes a certain way and things change. You know Marcus Freeman wants to go in and win this game in Columbus. And it's going to take a lot more than wanting to make it happen. But being an alum of Ohio State, he's being told from every which way that there's no chance. All the score predictions I've seen so far have been Ohio State somewhere in the 40s, Notre Dame somewhere in the 20s. What if he finds the elixir? What if Michigan gave the blueprint as to how to beat Ohio State? And what if Notre Dame has the guys that can do it? What if Isaiah Foskey, the Sacramento-based, formerly a tight end, I interviewed him back in 2016. What if he ends up just living in the Ohio State backfield? It could change everything. What if they run all over him? I don't know. I think it's a tough proposition, But I think there's tougher ones out there. Utah State at Alabama. But in a lot of these games, I just look around up and down, and I think a lot of these games will be interesting. We'll learn a lot from Utah, Florida, Georgia, Oregon. I don't think they're all necessarily like, yeah, this is obvious. Alabama at Texas in week two, yeah, that's probably pretty obvious, but it'll all be very interesting. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We have the mailbag coming up on Thursday, so get your questions in. I posed the question on Twitter, so reply to that, and I will we'll get you in for the mailbag. So thank you for watching and or listening. We'll be back very soon. Peace.